Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Good morning and good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to the continual recitation of the book called The Guide. The more full title of the book is The Guide of the Path to God Through the Religion of Islam in the Sufi Way, Teaching, Stories, and Descriptions of the Life of Sheikh Muhammad Sayyid al-Jamal Rifai. Yesterday, or the last recording, we recited the silsila, the lineage of the guide, and a little bit of his biography. Today we're going to be reading, I think it's just one chapter. It's a long chapter. It's called In God is the Pure Religion. It's on page 40, if anyone is following. We'll start with the Fatiha and invocation, and then we'll do the reading. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين لا إله إلا الله لا Muhammadan Rasulullah Ibrahim Rasulullah Musa Rasulullah Isa Rasulullah Alayhim Salatu Allah. Reading from page 40 in the guide, In God is the Pure Religion. The truth does not die, and it is without beginning and without an end. Return to the truth of your religion, to your book. Leave all the things of this material world and be with Allah and be only for Him, not for anything else. In Allah is the pure religion, and it is like a ship, the ship of safety for this time. In the same way, the Ark of Noah, may peace and blessings be upon him, was built by Allah's order to save his people from the flood of his judgment sent down for all those who did not believe in him and refused to follow the word of his prophet. It's important for everyone to get into this ship now and travel in it because stormy waters cover the face of the earth, just as they did in the time of Noah. This ship, which can carry us through the turbulent waters of this world to the opposite shore of Allah's peace and promise, is surrender to His will in al-Islam, which is the jewel of holy wisdom and mercy sent by the Most High through the voices of His prophets and messengers. Not only Noah, but all the prophets and messengers traveled in this ship. Sheikh Abu Hassan Ali Shaduli spoke of this journey across the Sea of God in his book, The Prayer of the Sea, Al-Hizba Bahar. He prayed, "Establish and succor us, and subject to us the sea as you did subject the sea unto Moses, and as you did subject the fire unto Abraham, and as you did subject the mountains and iron to Dawood, and as you did subject the winds and devils to Suleiman. Subject to us every sea that is yours on earth and in heaven, in the world of the senses and in the hidden world, the sea of this life and the sea of the life to come. Subject everything to us, O you in whose hand is the dominion over all." Like any religion, Islam has many faces and it has many qualities because of what its followers bring to it and the interpretations they make. Part of the message of the guide is to clean the religion of some of these faces and to guide its lovers and followers to the straight path that God wants. The true ship of Allah is the real Islam, whose face is that of the inner light, peace, mercy, justice, understanding for all of humanity, humility before the decrees of Allah, wisdom and strength. The similitude of the garden that has been promised to those who, conscious of Allah, ward off evil from within and without, is a paradise in which there flow rivers of unpolluted waters, rivers of milk whose taste never changes, rivers of wine delicious to those who drink it, rivers of clear, pure honey. In it there will be fruits of every kind for them and pardon from their Lord. Are those who are promised this like those who shall eternally dwell in the fire and are given to drink boiling water that tears their bowels? 47:15. It is narrated in Hadith Sahih that Umar ibn al-Khattab said, "While we were sitting with the Messenger of Allah, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, there appeared before us a man whose clothes were exceedingly white and whose hair was exceedingly black. No signs of journeying were to be seen on him, yet none of us knew him. He walked up and sat down by the Prophet, resting his knees against his, placing the palms of his hands on his thigh, he said, 'O Muhammad, tell me about Islam.' Well, the Messenger of Allah, may the peace and the blessings of Allah be upon him, said, 'Islam is to testify that there is no God but Allah, to perform the prayers, pay zakat, fast in Ramadan, and to make the pilgrimage to the house if you are able to do so.' He said, 'You have spoken rightly.' We were amazed at the man's asking and at his response. The man asked further, 'Tell me about belief, Iman.' The beloved Prophet replied, 'It is to believe in Allah, to believe in his books and his messengers, and in the last day, and to believe in divine destiny, both the good and the evil of it.' The man said, 'You've spoken rightly. Now tell me about excellence, Ihsan.' And the Messenger answered, 'It's to worship God as though you were seeing him, and if you do not see him, truly he sees you.' Then he said, 'Tell me about the hour.' And the Messenger replied, 'The one questioned about it knows better than the questioner.' And he said, 'Well, tell me about its signs.' And the Messenger replied, 'The slave girl will give birth to her mistress, and you will see barefooted, naked, and destitute herdsmen competing in constructing lofty buildings. I stayed for a while after the man had gone, and the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said to me, "O Umar, do you know who the questioner was?" And I replied, "Allah and His Messenger knows best. It was Jibril who came to teach you your religion." Know that the religion is a putting together of words of the way which was revealed in the hadith above. Islam is to surrender and to be guided in the laws and principles of knowledge from Allah. And the witnessing of La ilaha illallah Muhammadan Rasulullah. These were some of the last words from the tongue of the Messenger, and they encompass the entire way. Islam is both the law, the Sharia, and the path, the Tariqah. It is the action of praying and the reordering of life, which is inspired by true prayer. This praying is the purification of all the senses and the healing of all wounds. It is governed by three principles. First, by repentance and the return to Allah. Second, by reverence, taqwa. And third, by uprightness and listening to every word which comes from Allah, the avoiding of everything that is forbidden and a return to the straight way. This is the message of Allah at this time, not only for the people in the Holy Land, but for all the people in the world, because it's the order of Allah that the guide who carries the laws of God and also the truth of God, which is the knowledge of His unity, should proclaim these laws and this truth for all who have ears to hear, that there is only one mercy and one love, one peace and one God for everything that He has created. From the Holy Mosque of Al-Aqsa in the heart of the world in Jerusalem, the message goes out every day of the Friday prayer for the people, warning them, counseling them to walk straight, to not love the material world more than God, to not oppress each other and to not steal, to not spread corruption, to not steal the land of others, to not destroy homes, and to not turn people out of their dwellings because of their beliefs, to not destroy or desecrate any holy place or prevent people from worshiping God. The Messenger called all the people to be straight in their religion and to follow the truth of the book of their prophet. From this religion, there's always life, and there's a holy government for this truth, which is hidden at this time, but nevertheless exists eternally and works continuously in the unseen without end. The people think that they can do whatever they want to do, but under the government of the truth, there is no choice for anyone. People play games with the truth because they do not understand. The guide calls everyone to pray, not just in the outside form, but to truly pray with sincerity, because this is the praying which is the purification of all the senses and the healing of all wounds, and it leads to the avoidance of the things which are forbidden and a return to the straight way. Allah, praised and exalted is He, says, "Truly, I am Allah. There is no deity other than I. So worship me and establish the Salah for my remembrance." 2014. And He also says, "Recite what has been revealed to you from the book and establish the Salah." Surely the Salah preserves one from lewdness and evil, and the remembrance of Allah is greater, and Allah knows what you do. Quran 29:45. When you pray, in every prayer you ask Allah, saying, guide us to the straight way, the way of those whom you've blessed, not the way of those whom is your anger, nor those who are astray. Quran 1:6-7. This means that you ask Allah to help you to turn away from all bad actions and forgetfulness of Him, to awareness of Him in every moment, and to good action. You ask to leave the darkness and troubles of the material existence to live in the purity of the light of Allah. The message for the one who carries this message and gives this message is, O Messenger, make known that which has been sent down upon you from your Lord. For if you do not, you will not have conveyed His message. Allah will protect you from the people. Surely Allah does not guide a people who cover up the truth. From 5:67. And from 1936, Allah praised and exalted says, and Isa said, surely Allah is my Lord and your Lord, so serve Him, and that is the straight path. And Allah said to His Prophet in 42:52, in this way we have revealed to you divine inspiration by our command. You did not know what the book was or what faith was, but we have made it a light by which we guide whom we will of all our worshippers. And surely you guide the people to a straight path. And from 22:67, Allah exalted as He says, for every community we have appointed certain sacred rites that they observe. So we do not let them dispute with you about this matter, but call them to the way of your Lord. Surely you have straight guidance. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to his people, what I have forbidden you, avoid. And what I have ordered you, do as much as you of it as you can. And it was only their excessive questioning and their disagreeing with their prophets that destroyed those who were before you. Hadith Sahih, Bukhari and Muslim. The guide says, when I speak to the people in the masjid, I do not write down anything before I speak, but I go to the mosque and I look at the people and I speak to what I see in their hearts. People have been listening more and more to the words of the guide and following these words. Sometimes the guide speaks to them as though they are a small group around him, listening to him, speaking on this or that aspect of the Sharia. The teaching is interlaced with stories about holy people or with incidents of the present time, but every teaching is immediately topical and to the point of what the people need to hear. Guidance is received through the stories. Sometimes the message is only for those who are sitting in the masjid or the zawiya, and at other times it is sent in a loud, clear, strong voice that no one can escape from its meaning. In the Zawiya, sometimes the teaching is sent out to every other student who has taken the promise to follow him. Now the teaching is broadcast on a microphone outside the walls of the holy precinct, and it travels throughout all the holy land and beyond its borders. And the guide calls to the people with the words of Allah from 8:24. O you who believe, answer Allah and His Messenger when He calls you to that which gives you life, and know that Allah intervenes between a man and his heart, and that to Him you all will be gathered. He also calls them to wake up and stand up straight and strong in the way of Allah, and reminds them of God's words to them from 9:38-9. O you who believe, what ails you when you are called to go forth in the way of Allah that you cling heavily to the earth? Are you more satisfied with the life of the world than with the final life? But what is the enjoyment of the life of the world compared to the final life, save a little? In this way, people hear the words of Allah over and over again, and they hear His promise from the beginning that those who oppress others, those who work corruption or walk arrogantly in the land will receive His punishment, and those who are patient and forbearing and who follow His path will be rewarded. And again and again, the Bani Israel are warned of what God says about them in the Quran, and Allah showed them His favors in the past, but as with those of them at the time of the Prophet Musa, so now if they do not follow the word of Allah brought to them in their book, they will never inherit His holy land, because this is the land for all those He loves, and He wants them to live in His way, the way of peace and mercy and justice and equality according to His law. Allah spoke to the heart of the Messenger of Allah, saying in a Hadith Qudsi, O my servants, I have forbidden oppression for myself, and I have made it forbidden among you, so do not oppress. The Holy Quran spoke nearly 1,300 years ago about all that man is doing in the world today. These are strong times, but behind and inside everything there is always mercy and wisdom. If the world cannot see the darkness of itself now, then how can it feel the longing to find the light? Allah, praised and exalted, as He spoke about the people of the darkness, He says in 24:40, their deeds are like darkness on a vast abysmal sea covered by waves upon waves, over which are clouds layer upon layer of darkness, so dark that when a man stretches forth his hand, he can barely see it. And the one for whom Allah has made no light, there is no light for him. All the leaders and the soldiers who think that they can have everything they want and end everything in the way they want, because they have guns and they can use their equipment to destroy homes and towns and kill people, do not know that they can kill the body, but they cannot kill the soul. The soul of a person is eternal and does not die by their hands. The souls of all those people who have been killed are in the garden of Allah now, but they do not leave the souls of those who killed their bodies who still live in this world. Through us they ask what their killers and destroyers and oppressors are still doing. This is the beginning of the day of judgment for all those people who think they have the power to take what they want from anyone who is less powerful, and for those who oppress and destroy for their own greed and think that they have the right to kill, steal, or inflict cruelty upon their fellow human beings. Allah is merciful, the wise, and He gives every person without exception the chance to wake up, to see what He is doing and to ask, is this right? Allah gives chance after chance because He is the patient until the last chance comes, and those who lose their chance are in the judgment without end, about which no human heart or mind can know the depth or extent. Because of this, Allah says, pray for all those people who have lost me, who have lost themselves, or who do not know me. Pray for all those people who have lost their love in the darkness of this world and those who have lost their way. Pray that they return and find something, even the smallest light within their hearts. Pray that they may ask for forgiveness and weep deeply about what they have done before it is too late. Pray and pray, because in the deep darkness of the night, the light must be very bright, so as to guide men back to me. This is the voice of all the prophets, and it cries to this day to all the world, and it came through Nuh and Ibrahim and Musa and Isa and Muhammad. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon them all. It's the same voice, the same message that goes out to every corner of the world, because man is still man, and the message of the prophets is the message of Allah to this moment. The heart of man is still a heart full of arrogance and a stubbornness, except when it turns to God, surrenders to Him. In the end, it's His promise that He has given since the beginning of time which prevails. He says, from 52:25 through 7, some of them will draw near to each other, asking about their past lives, saying, truly, before this, we were always anxious when among our relatives, but Allah was gracious to us and preserved us from the burning wind. In the darkness, Allah does not leave His world without His light and without His love, and although the darkness is strong, the light is very bright. Without the darkness, how would people be led to search for the light? From the heart of the body of this world, which is sick and full of suffering, a new life is being born. The tree of the love has been broken and cut down. But from the fire of the humanity of the oppressors, Allah cleans His earth to give new life to His holy tree, so that it can grow again from the roots in the earth. And this tree is the tree of the truth and of the real life of God, the real life in God. In this time, the guide needs strength to stand against the evil of the darkness, and because his heart is special, he feels the pain and suffering of the whole world. He sees things with an eye that looks inside everything, and the human condition is laid out before him so that he can contain it. His work is then to lead hearts from blindness and limitation and pain and suffering to a real life through the peace, love, and mercy of Allah. It is only Allah and His Prophet who can give him what he needs in order to give God's message in this time. He must always be in the highest spiritual station in order to stand firm. One of his duties is the keeper and defender of the holy Masjid of Al-Aqsa. Many times he has stood in front of his people unarmed, confronting the soldiers and police of the occupying forces. Any heart that loves God cannot forget the deeply poignant day of October 17, 1989. 19 people were killed on the holy precinct when soldiers opened fire on those who stood together to prevent a group of Jewish people from placing a foundation stone on the platform near the Dome of the Rock as a symbol of their right to ownership as a Jewish place of worship. The hand of Allah is over everything that happens, and with His help there is protection from destruction. The hand of the guide at a time like that is exactly like the hand of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam before the Battle of Badr, when he knew that his enemy had a bigger army than he had, and when he prayed to Allah saying, O Allah, if this band perishes today, you will no longer be worshipped. Then as the enemy, full of arrogance, approached within fighting distance, he picked up a handful of pebbles and, turning toward his people, called out, foul be those faces, and he threw the pebbles symbolically in their direction. And Allah says in 88:17, and you did not kill them, but Allah killed them. And you did not throw the dust in the eyes of the attackers when you threw, but rather it was Allah who threw, that He might test the believers with a good test. Surely Allah is hearing and knowing. By the hand of His trusted one, Allah forbids this holy masjid, which is the third holiest place in Islam, after the Kaaba and Mecca and the tomb and masjid of the Prophet in Al-Medina, from being taken over by any religion which is not the religion of one God and which does not recognize all of the holy books and all of the prophets of God from the beginning to the end. During the months and years of struggle against oppression, intolerance, and humiliation inflicted against the Palestinian people, the voice of Allah calling to His straight path has not been heard from Mecca nor from Al-Medina, but only from Al-Aqsa Masjid in Jerusalem. And this voice has not been silenced by governments, soldiers, policemen or politicians, and it cannot be silenced except if that is the will of God. Allah says in 14:24-5, don't you see how Allah sets forth a parable? A good word is like a good tree. Its roots are firm, rooted in the earth, and its branches in heaven producing its fruit in every season by the permission of its Lord. And Allah sets forth parables for the people in order that they might remember. To be the keeper and the guardian of the Al-Aqsa Masjid and the teacher and imam for his people is only part of the work of the guide. He is also a judge who carries the law and is deeply knowledgeable. He has held the position as the supervisor of the Islamic courts in the West Bank, and his authority in this case extended as far as Amman in Jordan. He is also sought after by many who trust him and come to him for his wisdom, judgment, and mediating between them in their disputes and in settling their grievances, and he has had many years of experience as a judge sitting and hearing cases in the Islamic courts. The guide says, the perfected one spends all of his time working in the way because he has no time, for the time is Allah's. In his religion, there's no separation between anyone, either male or female, white or black, or any nation or of any race. In all this, there is no reality but the reality of God. In every face, he sees the face of his beloved Allah. The guide is known in many places outside the Holy Land, and he is visited by individuals and groups from other parts of the world, and some of them are Muslim, but many of them are Christian or Jewish, who come to sit with him, ask him questions, and receive his words, the light and inspiration for which they search. Many of the Christians, when they hear his words, weep and say, surely you are the Isa of this time. And Allah praised and exalted, as he says, so Allah paid them back on account of what they said, with gardens beneath which rivers flow, in which they will dwell forever. And that is a reward for those who excel in goodness. 585. It is reported in Hadith Qudsi that the Messenger of Allah said, the guide of the mercy and the peace loves the poor, and he is a prince of the poor. The fuqara, because his heart knows the meaning of the words of Allah to his beloved Prophet when he wanted to teach his people to care about the poor and needy in this community. Allah said, O my servant, I was sick, and you did not visit me. I begged from you, and you did not give to me. And the Messenger of Allah said, revile not the world, for Allah is the world. And Hadith Sahih. The guide says about himself, he's the poorest of the poor. Yet at the same time, he sits on the throne of infinite richness. And his cup is always empty, yet it is filled with the light of Allah and is overflowing with his mercy. He's moved by the order of Allah to go wherever his mercy is needed, to the sick and to the prisoners, to the orphans, to the widows, and to all those searching for the water of the truth. Among his followers are groups of people who look after poor families in Jerusalem, taking care that they are never in need of food or clothing. Others collect zakat, which is used for buying provisions and clothing for the orphans, prisoners, and disabled, and for the wives and families of those in prison. All of the beloveds of the guide are workers in the way of Allah. They are both men and women who spend their time looking after the needs of the community. One of these groups, under the direct supervision of Sidi Sheikh, set its face to fight the corruption of drug use and trafficking, which was spreading alarm and beginning to undermine the daily lives of the people. Others had tried to deal with the problem, but without success. As Sidi gathered his followers, men of strong hearts and bodies who were prepared to take on the task for the face of Allah, and they set up a special community at the tomb and masjid of Prophet Musa, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is in the desert between Jerusalem and the ancient city of Jericho. They repaired the old buildings around the tomb and made rooms and meeting places for themselves as a rehabilitation center for drug addicts from all over the West Bank. Allah accepted and blessed their intention, and they were rewarded with great success, and many whose lives had been in ruin and who had sunk to a very low level of existence were brought back to life after having lived for years on drugs as a way out of their human situation and an avoidance of the stresses of life. Through surrender to Allah and truth and sincerity from a depth of neediness and poverty, and in turning away from a former way of life to humility and obedience to Allah, they found a new creation, a new life, and a new strength. Those who are healed and brought back to a new life are often moved to help others in the same way. And therefore, this community continues to help to fight and destroy the darkness. And many of these people say the Sufis are cleaning Jerusalem. But really it is Allah who cleans his land through the hand of his slave, the guide, and all those who follow him. This is the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his Sharia working in this time. And this is the meaning of the words of Allah when he says in 8:24, O you who believe, answer Allah and his messenger when he calls to you, to that which gives you life. And know that Allah intervenes between a man and his heart, and that to him you all will be gathered. February of 1992, Allah sent a catastrophe to the people of East Jerusalem. Without warning, there was a landslide which came down on the roof of a cafe, killing a number of people. Under the weight of the rubble, the roof of the cafe collapsed, trapping people inside. And this cafe was a great meeting place for people. Was between Harad's gate and the gate of the pillar, the Bab al-Amud. The owner and his two sons, who lost their lives in the accident, were well esteemed to those who liked to meet at the cafe to exchange news and discuss their common problems, and to keep in contact with each other. Most of the customers were teachers, administrators, or merchants. Sidi Sheikh Mohammed was also in the habit of visiting this cafe and sitting with the people who gathered there. It had become a custom for any person who had a problem for which he needed help to wait there for the Sheikh's visit to consult with him and receive his advice. And Sidi speaks about what happened that day. It was in the middle of the afternoon, just after Al-Asr, and I was sitting in the cafe when a voice inside me said, "Go now, it's time for you to leave." I got up and mentioned to those around me that it was best to leave with me. I walked out of the cafe and reached the street to find a taxi to take me home. I had not been waiting for more than 2 minutes when I heard a loud noise coming from behind me. I turned around in time to see a mountain of earth falling from the graveyard, which was above the street, onto the top of the roof of the cafe, and I returned quickly. I returned quickly to the cafe, calling everyone to come with me. At the door, I saw two people almost completely covered with rocks and earth. I worked with my hands to remove the rocks and pulled them out. All the time I could hear voices calling for help, and I found another man buried under a large stone from the graveyard. When I pulled the stone away, I found that he was barely hurt. I asked the young people around me to continue to work to remove the debris while I went next door to the pharmacy to use their telephone to call for help. There was no damage at all to the pharmacy, so I was able to phone the municipality to ask them to come and help. Then I saw a patrol car with soldiers further down the street, and I went to tell them what had happened. When they saw me coming, they began to shout impolitely at me, asking me what I wanted, and I said to them, "Stop shouting, come with me and see what has happened." They came with me, and when they saw what had happened, they called other soldiers to help. When I had returned to the cafe, I found that many people had gathered and were helping to dig their way into the cafe to bring out those who were still inside. When the Israeli police arrived with bulldozers, they told me to get out of the way and to tell my people to move away so that they could do their work. But when they saw all that we had done and that we had retrieved 16 people using only our hands, they asked us to stay and help. We formed a chain to carry out the debris from inside the building, and the mayor of Jerusalem also came to help, and we worked late to the night to all the bodies had been found. There were 23 people who had lost their lives, and many were injured and had to be taken to the hospital. There were many television cameras taking pictures, and after everything was finished, they asked the mayor of Jerusalem and myself to say some words about what had happened. And I said, I thank Allah for everything He sends. This is a very holy thing. There is nothing strong that He sends that does not have blessings inside of it. If you look with a deep eye, only Allah can return everyone to be as He wants them to be. During the hours when we were clearing the cafe, there were Jewish people and Palestinian people, rich people and poor people, soldiers, policemen, all working side by side like brothers, because though what they saw had happened to these innocent people, Allah returned them in that moment to be human beings, without any walls between them or without any pictures between them. They remembered only their humanity together and their poverty in front of God. This is a holy sign for all the people. And I know that those who lost their lives today are not dead, but they live among us as long as the human being remembers his humanity and gives his heart a chance to be a real heart. For many months afterwards, people would stop at the place of the accident, would raise their hands to pray to Allah, and to remember those whose lives He had taken in this strong, holy thing which He sent. And that brings us to page 55, where we'll pick up with the fifth installment next time, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.